Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Fat Soma Meets. I'm Cameron Rawson. On this episode today, I had a brilliant conversation with George Godfrey. George is the presenter of the Radio X Evening Show and is the founder and director of Alt Disco, an events company coming out of London, making amazing events and showcasing upcoming bands and artists. This is episode 12 of Fat Soma Meets with George Godfrey. George, thank you very much for joining me today on Fat Soma Meets. I really appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Good to see you, Cameron. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We were just talking a second ago about your new office backdrop situation. Yeah. Very aesthetically pleasing. Is nice. The Thank amp you. Like placed there on purpose? Are things in certain places or is it just how it's happened?
Yeah, it's the only space for it, to be honest. And it is, despite not being that big, it's far too loud to actually use in this flat. So it's just pretty redundant where it is, to be honest.
what instruments do you play? I'm guessing guitar.
Yeah, so I play guitar, I play bass. I'm trying to like learn keys a bit more, but it's difficult when you've got like no like music theory background. Right. There's only so far that YouTube can take you, I think, but you know, it's something to do.
Did you self-teach with guitar as well through YouTube, or did you have like lessons and friends teach you, or how did that come about?
I started having lessons when I must have been like 6 or 7. And it was like the classic, okay, someone's going to come into primary school and teach you how to play like Jingle Bells, like classical guitar. And yeah, then I kind of lost interest in that and picked up an electric guitar when I was like 12, learning how to play like Teen Spirit and Seven Nation Army and all that lot. And then it's just kind of been working up from there. Yeah.
Do you sing as well, or is that not your thing?
Nah, I'm not a very good singer. the less people hear that, the better.
Okay, fair enough. So you had like the taste of like guitar, indie music, rock music from an early age, I take it?
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of always been around guitar music. Like one of my first memories is my dad always used to play. I've got his old acoustic here now, and like he always used to play in the house, and it was always like, you know, Don McLean and Johnny Cash and stuff like that. So yeah, I think American Pie is like the first song I ever really remember hearing. So maybe like a bit of a country upbringing that's then led to you know, rock and indie and everything in that world.
Do you find that given your taste from an early age and the sort of music you're exposed to, it's helped you become a bit of a tastemaker with your own, obviously your own event brand, Alt Disco? Do you reckon the sort of music you grew up listening to and has helped shape your taste now?
Yeah, I think so. It's just something, you know, like when you're always passionate about the music that you love most. And don't get me wrong, like it's not exclusively rock, indie, alternative. You know, I love all kinds of music, but that's always been the foundation, I think. And yeah, it leads you down a bit of a rabbit hole and you explore all the different artists that, you know, like someone recommends to you or that like your favorite band cite as an influence, and you kind of take it from there. So it's definitely helped like broaden my taste and my palate and just kind of like this hunger to explore and find something new and exciting. And that's what Alt Disco is all about. Like it's unearthing these bands and putting them on a stage in front of an audience who may not necessarily know them and introducing them to their music. Yeah.
How do you find the bands that you put on? Do they reach out to you? Do you sort of go and see their events? How does that work?
Do you know what? It's there's no one way about it. And like, I do understand that we get bands messaging all the time in this job. And you know, you listen to what you can, but I'll be honest, there's so many emails that come in. So like,
as much as I'd
love to be able to listen to everything, it's so difficult to. We just had an Alt Disco this Saturday just gone, and that was with Chili Jessen, formerly from Parma Violets. And yeah, I found his music through like the team that I'm working with on Alt Disco, like Sam, who's one of the head of live at Killing Moon, he was like, okay, so you may remember this name, Chilly Jess. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay, so he's got this solo stuff coming up. None of it's out yet, but have a listen to this and see what you think. So that came as a recommendation. But like the opening band that night, for example, called Enjoyable Listens, I saw them play in a pub garden in lockdown. It's like, you know, when you could have shows outside.
Yeah.
So they played at the Victoria. And they're just like this incredible kind of, it's got like an 80s kind of synth pop thing going on. But then like Luke, the singer's got this really strong like country vocal and he's like a great performer. So they're a two-piece playing with a backing track, but he's like climbing all over these picnic tables and putting on like this amazing show. So it's like,
amazing.
Okay, I'm going to remember their name. And when we can put an actual gig on properly in a venue, they're involved. And, you know, we finally made it happen.
Do you find that since, I don't want to talk about lockdown too much, but do you find that since the end of the regulations of gigs and stuff, people have still got the drive and the taste to go and see music live?
I think so. It's weird because when, you know, those lockdown restrictions were lifted, I was, don't get me wrong, I was excited to get back to putting gigs on and going to them. But there's always this level of like nervousness around it as well. And, you know, we were due to have our first gig back in July. It was like that week when everything reopened, and there was just, the cases were still rising, and I just didn't feel comfortable with it. I was like, I don't feel 100% going into a room with, you know, like 150, 200 people just yet. And I was like, oh, I can't expect others to do that if I wouldn't myself. So I delayed that show. Like, I made the decision to do it. And, you know, I understand, like, that's a difficult decision to make. And, you know, there's a lot of bands who, you know, that they are itching to get back to it. And there was a lot of preparation. But, you know, we still made the show happen. It happened a month later. But now I think people are getting back into that sense of normality. And it is great to see, because it's something that we've really missed. It's that sense of, like, community and coming together and enjoying some music in a room.
I find, given I'm a DJ as well on the weekend, I find that I feel as if nothing's actually ever happened in the past. People are so back to normal and back to as is. Nothing's changed. Mm. There's no sort of, from what, at least what I see, there's no sort of like real fear of being around a lot of people. Everyone's just happy to, you know, be dancing and stuff like that. So it's quite exciting to see. Mm. I want to talk about your radio show. Obviously, you've been doing it now for, I think, over a year now, I believe.
Yeah, it's so I officially took over the evening show on Radio X. Like, officially, it was kind of like the end of last summer. So yeah, a bit over a year. I was covering it a lot up until then because Gordon, who's like my predecessor, he was ill. So yeah, when we officially said, okay, this is George's taking over the show now. Yeah, it's about a year ago.
Have you found it?
It's been a strange experience because we like kind of launched the show in a lockdown, and that meant that like a lot of people were listening to the radio, which worked out, you know, that was nice. We had people messaging in, and like one thing that I've always wanted to do with it is to really make it a community feel, like the listeners are involved. Like I want them to like help contribute into the playlist, for example, and like to have interaction, have conversations about some of their favorite music. So we did notice that there was a lot of people listening at what is otherwise, like, you know, it's quite a difficult time to be on the radio because there's a lot of distractions from 7 o'clock at night. Like, you know, you making your tea or whatever, or you're sitting down at home with your family, you're not necessarily going to be glued to a radio. But I've got to say, like, it's really good. It's one of the things that I've always been like aiming for since I started radio, was to get into this evening show slot where I'm in a position to, you know, play some of the slightly more obscure records or introduce the newer tracks into the audience and speak to the bands. And that's been an amazing thing. Like, we've had so many guests doing it this way, like over Zoom, over Skype, whatever it's been. And yeah, it's kind of made it even easier to have access to those artists who want to come on and promote their music. So
have you ever been sort of pitched, I guess is the right word, a track from a producer at Radio X or whatever, and you've not heard it and you've genuinely been like, wow, this is really fucking good, let's put it on? Or are you exposed to new music yourself through that sort of route of producer pushing music your way?
Track, like, they'd heard it before me and then I was like, oh shit, this is really good. So yeah, it's nice. It's and then alongside that as well, you know, we have John Kennedy, like the legend that he is, doing exposure on Radio X. And, you know, I listen to that show just to see what's out there, because, like, he's in a position 10 times what I am in terms of getting pushed new music. And he's got, you know, he's always had this incredible ear for it. So it's really nice to hear what's out there that, you know, that I may have missed.
What is your sort of way of sourcing new music? Do you go on YouTube, SoundCloud? I mean, is it Spotify? How does that happen? If there's somebody listening now who wants to genuinely sort of be at the forefront of new music, they'd love finding new music, what sort of platforms would you recommend them to find this on?
I'm kind of old school in that a lot of it does come from radio listening. Whether that is John on Exposure or, you know, like Jack on Radio One, or listening to Six Music, or like all of these different places. That's where I tend to like hear things as they're breaking. Obviously with the smaller bands that aren't necessarily going to get onto those shows straight away, it will come through like Spotify playlists, and just being sent stuff. Like, there was a really nice surprise where, when we had this alt disco show that I ended up rearranging, we had to find a new support band, and I kind of thought, well, there's a few people that I could go with, but like, let's see what's out there. And I just put a tweet out saying, like, okay, this is what we're doing, this is the show, I want to hear something new that I've not heard before. And obviously you get a lot of replies to that, and I listened to as much as I could. And there was this band called She's in Parties, and their manager Sean like got in touch with me. They've got one song out, and I heard it, and this song Mess, just like, it, something about it just really kind of stopped me in my tracks a bit. And I was like, who's this band? Why have I never heard of them before? And they are that new, and they've got new stuff on the horizon, which I'm excited to hear as well. But yeah, that was just a really nice kind of like, okay, what's out there? I've gone fishing. And caught a winner.
I mean, that must be really exciting, finding a band that have released only one track and you're this excited about it, that the music is going to be so good based on one track.
Yeah, and what was like really nice about that is, you know, I spoke to their manager, I said, I want to book the guys. Is there anything else I can listen to just so I get like a little bit more of a sense? Because like, for all I know, that could be their one tune and everything else is like, they have nothing else.
But yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Luckily they did, and you know, they opened on that night, and I had like friends in the room who came over and they're like, who's this band? Like, this songwriting's really, really good. And it's, and you know, it's really, not to sound like condescending or anything, but you know, they're a really young band, and this is like sophisticated songwriting that you would expect from, you know, someone who's years ahead of them. So that's something that I found really exciting.
Do you think that music or genres themselves have like changed over the years with the introduction of technology and the world around us? Obviously, indie is indie and alternative and rock is rock, but do you think the genres themselves have changed over the years?
Do you know what? I think that there is definitely a sense of, like you say, like technology and recording techniques and production ideas being adopted into other genres, that is exciting. And it is kind of like blurring the lines to define, okay, we're not in a position where it's like, okay, this is rock, this is like hip hop, for example. It's like that there are so many things that cross over in those worlds, and it does create a really exciting listen.
There is what's the band? Are they called like Maneskin or something like that? Who
from Eurovision?
Yeah, who it's obviously they're like, what is it, rock? Would you say they are?
I think that's what they're definitely going for.
but yeah, like obviously they're like going for rock, but they're doing a cover of Madcon Begging. Mm. So that's a bit of a bit of like a nice overlap. But sorry, I interrupted.
I think that's a good example where they've taken, you know, the original version of Begging, like goes back to, you know, like Northern Soul, and I can't even remember the name of the artist, but like, yeah, it's taking that track and putting their own spin on it. That's what a cover should be. And yeah, to bring it back, I guess, to this idea of genres changing, I think that there are new genres being born out of like others coming together. Not to say that like I think there's still a lot of bands and artists out there doing, you know, things that we have seen before traditionally, but putting their own spin on it. You know, there's so many shoegaze bands out there, for example. There's a lot of people kind of doing this post-punk thing. That's something that you see a lot right now. And don't get me wrong, I like it. But yeah, like things adapt, but they also come back around as well.
I guess it's like fashion, really, isn't it? With music, mm. You've obviously got, you know, you can go from. I remember when obviously dubstep was a big thing, and obviously EDM, and then in our country, I guess another thing as well on top of that is genres in different countries are completely different to genres in our country. Mm. I'd say.
Yeah, I think there's always like a different, the hierarchy isn't the right word, but like there are genres that are traditionally like more popular in certain countries than they are here. And that's, you know, that's down to so many different things, personal taste being one of them. But yeah, I think you're right to say that for sure.
So I want to ask you this next question more so because you're one of the only guys from the North I've interviewed over the last month or so. Most people have been from the South. Now, do you think within the world of music, both, I guess, the business aspect, but also the attitude of music and maybe the output of music is, there's a bit of a difference between that of the North and that of the South?
In terms of like the music that's being made?
Yeah, the music that's being made, the way music's being made, like the attitude of the music.
I think you are right to say that there is a London bubble still, which like I don't think is a good thing, to be honest. I feel like where once of a time everyone would need to feel like they needed to be in London to kind of break through, I feel like that's less and less relevant. And you know, you look around the UK and there's so many exciting artists and music being made all over the place. Like my girlfriend is from the West Midlands, and you know, I've spent a decent amount of time there and got to know just some of the music scene, and there's so many bands like doing some really exciting stuff out of there. And you know, there's a good example is a band I know called Calva Louise who've played one of my nights before, and they were a London-based band, and then they decided to move up north, and I think like they moved to Blackpool. Because you can live for like a reasonable price there, and that's what you need as a band. You don't want to be like blowing half of your money on rent, whereas you can go to the north, you can go up to Blackpool and have all this space to create, and you know, have a proper home studio set up, and suddenly you take control of all of that. And I think that's a really good thing to do. Like, we need to break down the barriers of the London bubble, I guess.
Is that something you can foresee happening sometime in the future? Or do you think it'll be a bit of a slog to get there? I guess it's going to take, like what the band you've just been discussing, It's going to take a lot more bands to do that for the bubble to sort of explode. I don't know what the right word is, but
pop. I mean, I can only make predictions. I do not have the answers here, but what I'm seeing is that the industry as a whole, the music industry as a whole, is broadening where it's based, and particularly on a media side. Like, it's not all about London, and there are opportunities opening in Birmingham, in Manchester, and beyond that. And with that, you will get these kind of like industry nights and stuff where people are going out to check out these bands. And you know, heaven forbid that it doesn't have to be like the Old Blue Last in Shoreditch, for example. Like, it could be any venue in these places. So yeah, we'll see. I'd like to see opportunities in as many places as possible. Sure.
I want to go back to your show on Radio X and talk about interviews. Obviously, you've done a lot of interviews yourself. How do you go about an interview with, say, a massive rock star or a band? Do you speak to them before you start recording? Do you go straight into the deep end? For people listening, what's the process to that?
So if it's someone really big, so during the last year, it was the height of lockdown, I had Dave Grohl on the show, and that's one of the biggest names in this kind of like rock and alternative world that you can get. He's got limited time. He's talking to a lot of people, and the way that it works for that is, like, you know, we're doing this on Zoom, and he'll be doing like a chat with me, and then he'll do a chat with someone else from another station straight after, and he'll probably do a few in a row. So in that case, we're told, okay, you've got like 20 minutes or whatever it is. So because they're as strict on that time as they are, you want to get straight into it. So for that, there wasn't really much time to have like how are you doing? Thanks so much for doing this. It's like, let's get straight. When you're ready, if you're ready, let's just dive straight in. And hopefully we'll get what we want. And like, luckily in that situation, he is an incredibly nice guy, and he's very generous with his time and his storytelling. So it was one of the, to be honest, like one of the easiest conversations I've had on that show, because he puts you at ease, and he's got a real skill at doing that. And that comes from years of experience, I guess.
Do you find that there's some, obviously I'm not asking for names here, but do you find there's some bands who are maybe at a point where they're starting to be recognized and are starting to get a bit of fame, and then they could be quite difficult to interview? I mean, I've experienced it myself on a few occasions, I must say, but.
Do you know what it is? I feel that has been a thing. And I've been very fortunate. I've been doing radio, interviewing bands since I interviewed my first bands when I was in student radio. So doing it quite a few years now. I've been very fortunate that like no one's been like that, to be honest. Like, everyone is just, you know, they're excited to be there and to talk about their music and just to have a chat in general. It shows this very kind of like human side to them. And yeah, I've been lucky that everyone's been really, really nice. And I understand sometimes an artist can come across maybe a little bit quieter, but I put that down to nerves a lot of the time when it's like some of their early interviews. And that's part of my job. Like, part of the job of the interviewer is to make them feel as comfortable in that conversation as you can. And, you know, then it will naturally just flow.
I must say, I remember years ago, I was at Radio 1 Extra Live. This was about when I was 16, so about 12 or 13 years ago. I was interviewing I was about 18, so about 10 years ago, I was interviewing Rita Ora when she'd just sort of got to the point of being like recognized. And also someone called Misha B, I think, from X Factor years ago. Yeah. And they were the two most difficult people I think I've ever interviewed in my entire life. It was horrible.
Why was that though? Like, what was the conversation? Like, did you feel a pressure that they didn't want to be there, or like, what was it?
It was a mix of them not wanting to be there. There was also two like press officers just like stood right behind me, just like seeing what I'm about to ask. So it was just really horrible. And like, the whole experience was just like very unwelcoming. But
did you have them like stood behind you, like going like, Like, literally, running out of time. Yeah, yeah.
And also, like, they were kind of glancing at my notepad to see what I'd written down. And I was just like, okay, cool. Okay.
It's interesting, you say that, though, because, like, when I started out in this, I really did think that, like, okay, this whole, like, getting your questions cleared would be more of a thing. But, like, I've never had that in all of these years. Like, in fact, no, I tell a lie, there was one band. And this wasn't even for like a radio thing. This was for like a YouTube thing. And they asked for all of the questions in advance. And I was like, well, to be honest, I've got quite a lot on. I was planning on prepping this like the morning of the interview. And they, like, for whatever reason, they just didn't go for it in the end. They said, okay, well,
oh wow,
we'll maybe do this another time. So I said, well, fair enough. Like, I'm not going to ask you to do anything you're not comfortable with. But that's... I'm not going to ever put someone in an awkward position, put them on the spot deliberately. Like, I'm not that kind of interviewer. Like, it's not in your best interest to be a good experience. But at the end of the day, like, you don't want to listen to someone like really struggling or put on the spot and feeling awkward. Like, that's, for me, that's not a pleasant experience. Like, no. I'm not into that, but I don't know, maybe some cynical people are, but hey.
I think the only thing I can kind of guess when it's down to that is that they would like to give a good answer. So therefore, they want to prep an answer. But then obviously that could then be sort of a less fun answer at the same time.
Well, that definitely happens, surely. Like, you know, say if you're interviewing a band about the album, and I really do, I understand you have to ask the question, but I try and get it out of the way early or like take a different spin on it where it's like, okay, so what's this song about? And there's always a stock answer. It's written on the press release. They're going to 9 times out of 10 regurgitate that and get the line away. And then once you've got it out of the way, you can actually have a conversation. But I do feel like a lot of the time you have to ask that question. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of the, yeah, I know what you mean. You sit between a rock and a hard place of, you know, you have to ask the question, but then you already know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
So I want to talk about again your club night. What are your plans with it? How often are you doing this? Where do you see this going in the future? Obviously now you can get back to getting it into venues. Are you planning on keeping it the size it is? Do you want to make it a big beast? Or yeah.
Yeah, so we're kind of at like a crossroads with it. So I started the night in 2019 and it was something that, you know, I'd never done before. I didn't have a lot of experience. I'd played in bands and organized like small shows before that, but I'd never put on, you know, like a curated gig night. And I'd seen a few friends over the years do it and always kind of watched from afar, like, that's something I'd love to do one day, but never had the confidence to do it. And then I just thought, well, if I don't do it now, like, well, I might not ever do it, and we can give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? So, you know, it started small. We were working out of the Victorian Dalston exclusively for a long time, up until essentially this October just gone. And that's 150 cap, roughly. And, you know, I was happy. It was steadily growing and getting more interest from bands wanting to come and play it. And then recently I was having conversations with Killing Moon Live, who are like, they kind of cover everything from like labels through to press and their own gig nights as well. It has become the Music Federation, which is a whole different beast. And it's a really exciting thing that they're doing there. So we're working together on that. And Sam, who I mentioned before, who's the head of live there, he had a conversation with me saying like, okay, we're interested in what you're doing with Alt Disco. We want to help grow it and make it a bigger thing. Like, is that something you want to do? And let's talk about what we can do with it over the next, you know, short term, and then see how we go from there. So I'm suddenly in a position where I've got like a little bit more help on it. So we upped the venue size to the Moth Club, which is a 300 cap venue. And we did the first one there over the weekend. And, you know, we were able to book some exciting bands. And it was busy. Like, I'll be honest, I was nervous beforehand because, you know, it's a new venue, it's a new way of working for me. Whereas before I'd had all the control because it was just me doing everything. Whereas like now I've got help and like, to be honest, like, for me, it's just a case of, okay, these are the bands that I like. I'm going to kind of work on the visual side of everything and put this lineup together. But it's a really exciting thing. Like they're keen to grow the night to make it kind of we'll keep it a monthly thing, which is what it's always been. But like we will work with different venues and different sizes depending on the artists that we get. And we can take it to, you know, different parts of London, and then beyond London is like an ambition for sure. And to bring the night and this kind of like curated lineup and experience to different cities, and beyond that, maybe some festivals, and we'll see how it goes. Like I would like it to become kind of like a well-known gig night in the UK. So yeah, like it's an exciting time, and we'll see how the next year, 2 years go for sure.
I guess the next stop for you is probably Manchester, isn't it? To be fair, I mean it's got a good music scene here, good live music scene. Goes without saying, I wish you the best of luck with it as well, and hopefully one day, man. You do bring it to Manchester. That'd be nice to go to. Before we finish the interview, I want to just talk to you about what advice you can give to bands to get your ear, to get the ear of someone influential.
It's a good question, because like, you know, there's no right or wrong way. There's so many different avenues that you can go down to getting yourself heard, and I would say play a lot of gigs and like really hone your craft in, because ultimately it's all well and good to get like my ear on it, but you want to get as many people listening to those tunes as possible and to see what you're doing, because it's such a saturated market. There's so many bands out there now, and you've got a big job in saying, okay, well, how do I stand out above everyone else here? Find your niche, find like your voice for sure. Don't try and like imitate anyone. Like, yeah, have influences for sure, but like I want to hear something that gets me excited, that's like it's new and it's fresh.
If the market is so saturated, surely we're at the point now where the bands are going to sound very similar to other bands. It might be on purpose, it might be by accident.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And there are bands that sound a lot like other artists, whether it's like other more well-established artists, or sometimes like you could just be part of a scene where like, okay, a lot of you are kind of doing a similar thing here. But it's all down to personal taste. And like we said before, like with genres, things are always evolving, and you take inspiration from other styles of music that you like. And it's about like, okay, well, let's take the best thing out of this artist and what they do, and like sprinkle that into what we've got going on, and then like something from this genre. It is a saturated market, but that doesn't mean that like things aren't developing for sure. But yeah, like just play gigs, keep working at it, and like you can just message people. Like that's what social media exists for. I'm not a massive, like, I don't really like social media as like I'm gonna sit on my phone scrolling all day. Like I'm trying to kind of get away from that. But like one thing that I think it is really good for is that it can put you in touch with people who you wouldn't otherwise, you know, be talking to, and just like saying, this is my tune. If you've got time to listen to it, I'd really appreciate to hear what you think. And that person may have time on the right day to listen to it and be really surprised. And that's how it happens, man. There's always a bit of luck about it. But yeah.
I have one last question / statement. It's like a 2-in-1. So a friend of mine, we're having a conversation, and he basically said that he doesn't understand why when he messages bands on Instagram who are, you know, 3,000-4,000 followers, saying like, oh my God, I had a great time last night, it was really good to see you, and they read it and don't reply. He's always so confused. Why do bands do this? Why aren't bands in the DMs of fans and sort of being like, thank you for coming to the gig, you know? Because I feel like you're more likely to buy their merch, you're more likely to tell the friend, your friends about these people.
Yeah. I think, like, again, you have this opportunity to have a personal connection with the people who are invested in, like, your art, in your music and what you're doing. So, yeah, you should reply to those things if you've got the time to. Like, you know, I understand that, like, we can't be available 24/7 and that, like, you know, you don't have to get back to everyone. But, like, if you have the opportunity and someone's been really nice about your music and your performance, like, you can just say, oh, thanks so much for coming. Glad you enjoyed it. And yeah, like, take it from there. Like, you don't have to have, like, a back and forth conversation. You can just get back to them and say thanks. Because, like you said, that's going to make them feel closer and more invested with the band. They're like, oh yeah, they're actually really friendly as well. So as well as having this incredible music, they're just really nice.
You're more likely to buy more stuff from them as well, aren't you? So, George, thank you so much for this. I know it's taken a while to, you know, to get this together, but I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's all good. Thanks so much for having me, Cameron.